Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a really interesting podcast. I know you guys have heard the buzzword exosomes. Exosomes are everywhere in aesthetics, in your derm office, your plastic surgery office, and we have two really amazing experts today. We're going to talk about all the red flags and all the safety issues you should be aware of with exosomes that are on the market. So I want to welcome Erin Crowley and Dr. Mike Heke, and we are going to talk in detail. Erin is a global leader in regenerative biotherapeutics. She's co-chair of the Exosome Exact Oversight Bureau and a co-manager of the Crowley Center for Regenerative Biotherapeutics. So she has more than 15 years of experience in the corporate world, engineering and regulatory compliance, and she's bringing those gold standards into aesthetics. This year, she's really worked on pioneering a new era of purity, functionality, transparency, and really looking at what makes a gold standard for an exosome in terms of exosome quality. So she's at the helm of this Exosome Exact Oversight Bureau, which we're going to hear more about. And Dr. Mike Heke started his career in pharma researching with Bayer, and he has been a stem cell researcher since the year 2000 and did stem cell work in heart failure. He was also scientific coordinator for many large-scale EU projects. He founded the German Stem Cell Network, and he joined Rockefeller University to lead its Department of Stem Cell Biology. He was appointed deputy to the president of Stanford University, managing Bing's presidential laboratory. And he also is currently at the Crowley Center for Regenerative Biotherapeutics, and they focus on kind of bringing stem cell science safely and effectively into regenerative medicine. So with that huge intro, you guys know you're listening to some experts. Welcome. Welcome, Erin and Mike.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Well, I want to dive right in and talk a little bit about what is an exosome. Erin, maybe you can explain to me in layperson's terms, since many people have heard the word exosome but probably couldn't define it. Tell me how we should think of what is an exosome.
So exosomes come from lots of different sources, and an exosome is a little nano bubble, 30 to 150 nanometers, super, super tiny. They're secretions of stem cells. Stem cells also secrete hyaluronic acid, collagen type 4. Exosomes are another secretion. And inside these exosomes are incredible rich ingredients, all the things we love for our skin and hair, intimate tissues, you name it, they're great. So collagen inducing, so from functional proteins, growth factors, ceramides. But what makes an exosome so totally different than a growth factor or a biostimulator is that this little nano bubble, it travels to damaged tissue and it's captured. And when it's captured, it delivers all of those rich ingredients I talked about that basically restore the cell. But also happens, and I'm not a biologist background, so what I've learned is it also carries microRNA, and that microRNA sends a message and the cell decodes it. And just like a computer, it reboots. So when you use age zero exosomes, which are from Wharton's jelly, from the human umbilical cord, where all the stem cells come from to build the baby, they're the most regenerating stem cell that exists. That message is total rejuvenation. And based on your cell source, so if it was from fat stem cells or adipose or bone marrow or plants, the cargo inside is different. And the signal that cell sends to your cells are different. So you'd have a different reaction or response or deliverable. So not all exosomes are created equal. Wharton's jelly has been scientifically proven to be the best, most rejuvenating source. And then you need to make sure that your manufacturing processes make sure that that exosome is still bioactive at the end of the day. So we can get more into that, but that's kind of a little tidbit. So exosomes have ingredients and they have a recipe to totally restore your skin, your hair, and thousands of other areas of research are being done on the human body right now that are all really exciting.
I think that's a great explanation. And Mike, do you have anything to add, like at the scientific level, about the microRNAs? And do you feel, one side question too, I would love to compare and contrast polynucleotides to exosomes, which are two entirely different animals, but they're both out there on the market. They're both competing for our attention.
Mm-hmm. So basically, Aaron already captured a perfect overview and analysis of what it is. I think the important parts are really that not all exosomes are created equally. So virtually all cells secrete exosomes, but it's therefore very important to source your exosomes properly. So for instance, tumor cells or cancer cells also secrete exosomes, but they have a whole different task that's supporting tumor growth. So that's certainly something you don't want to touch. So what you want to use as a cellular origin for your stem for your exosomes are stem cells, because they are considered the building blocks of life. And among those stem cells, like MSCs, mesenchymal stem cells, they are often sourced from either bone marrow or adipose tissue, which requires adult donors, or from perinatal tissues, which is placenta, umbilical cord blood, and amniotic fluid. So the adult tissues are really not optimal, because even if you have a healthy 20-year-old that donates bone marrow or adipose tissue, they have been subjected to 20 plus years of environmental hazards, which is chemicals, toxins, but also aging, disease, bad food, and it's anything but optimal. So you want to use perinatal tissues instead, and even among the perinatal tissues, there are differences. Among those four that I mentioned, the Wharton's jelly of the umbilical cord is the one considered the best suited one, because it contains a large amount of mesenchymal stem cells, and they are even protected from maternal contamination, such as maternal DNA or, let's say, vaccine residues. So all of that has no ability to get into the Wharton's jelly mesenchymal stem cells. So they are the most pristine and also the youngest stem cells that you can get your hands on. And that's where those H0 characteristics come in as the most important feature of our exosomes. H0 just means before we are born, we have the capacity for total regeneration and repair, which means in the process of development, the baby in utero, if anything goes wrong, it will be fixed. It can be completely replaced by functional tissue, and it will normally. And therefore, it's important to utilize those stem cells that have the ability to effect these protective mechanisms. And these are the mesenchymal stem cells that actually have been produced before the baby was born. Interestingly, as soon as we are born, we lose that capacity for total regeneration and repair. Mm-hmm. We obviously have the ability to regenerate, but even it's not perfect anymore. And then with age, it further diminishes. So when we harvest those MSCs from the umbilical cord and culture them properly, that's also very important, then we retain these H0 characteristics. And that enables us to actually achieve rejuvenation, because as I said, those are the youngest stem cells that you can have. When they secrete those exosomes, they contain all the microRNAs and functional proteins and lipids. So all the building blocks and the genetic for any cells to reboot or reprogram itself to a younger self, to return to a more youthful state and to fix itself. So if you're asking about polynucleotides or any kind of growth factor or any other factor to compare that with exosomes, it's just not the same. I mean, all these individual factors, polynucleotides, also vitamins, of course, amino acids, all of them are very important and relevant, and they play a role in this process of regeneration and repair. But they're just one factor. So any given factor is just like a palliative beam. Only if you have a bioactive exosome that fuses with a target cell, as Aaron explained it, and deliver all that cargo, it enables the cell to do whatever it needs to do to actually return to a fully functional and more youthful state.
Got it. Do we need to be worried about getting HLA surface antigens, or... when we are harvesting exosomes from any source that's not our own or not autologous, should we be worried that we're getting surface antigens and markers of another individual in our system?
No, we don't have to be worried. That's why MSCs are the primary source for also the exosomes that we want to use. Also in stem cell therapy, we also resort to MSCs because they are immune privileged. That
so
means
they
don't
HLA
contain
G phenotype. Yeah,
they don't contain the surface markers that would enable your body to recognize they are foreign. And there's a reason for it, because if you grow a baby in your tummy as a woman, this is considered scientifically an allograft between the mom and the dad. Mm-hmm. So it is something foreign. And it would be crazy if the mom's body would reject it as something foreign. Mm-hmm. So that's where the protective mechanisms come from and the immune privilege. So MSCs derived from perinatal tissues are immune privileged, so they cannot be recognized as something foreign by your body. Therefore, they cannot lead to any rejection. Mm-hmm. Instead, they're actually used to treat graft versus host disease when you have other transplants and they cause.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I think people don't realize that enough, because when they are getting exomes derived from other people's donated fat, donated platelets, or other cellular tissues, there are foreign antigens of that individual on the surface, potentially, of all those exomes.
Antigens, unlikely, but if you get it from adult donors, it's a little bit, it's suboptimal for sure, because over the course of those 20 plus years as an adult donor, you might even accrue some mutations in your genetics, mm-hmm. and they're going to be transferred into all your bodily mm-hmm. cells. So the cells, even the MSCs, are far from optimal for use as a transplant or as an allogeneic tool.
Right. Now, what motivated you guys to kind of do this study where you looked at the impact of lyophilizing, or taking a liquid and making it into a dry powder with the exosome membranes?
So the Crawley Center for Regenerative Biotherapeutics is a venture building company. So we invest in technologies, advanced technologies. My father, Michael Crawley, has been commercializing advanced technologies from government labs since 1986. So this is what we do. And so anytime we go to look and invest in a new technology, we do significant vetting of the industry. And, we were already in the stem cell space because that was a byproduct of a cancer diagnostic product that we have. So we're a Wharton's jelly technology company. And as an auditor, I started going in and understanding what were the exosomes in the cosmetic space, because exosomes were growing aesthetically and we were asked to open a new brand to supply aesthetics to a distributor in Dubai. And so I spent about 6 months and I went through every company in the exosome aesthetic space, and I saw some significant gaps. First, these products were not medical grade. They're not having a certificate of conformity with infectious disease testing. There's no donor history on any of these. Doctors are receiving exosomes with no reports from any USA CLIA labs that would indicate that this is medical grade. So no sterility testing, endotoxin, bioburden, mycoplasma. Nothing was done to indicate that the stem cells that they got these exosomes were medical grade or safe. Then we also looked and we said, what else is happening in the industry? We saw that most of the companies were actually growing their stem cells in what's called passages, but they were doing it many times, 1,500 times. So they're copying their stem cells to produce more exosomes, and they're making copies upon copies upon copies. And what happens is when you expand these stem cells, they can differentiate, they can mutate, and the exosomes they produce are no longer good. They change. And so the International Stem Cell Research Society would say never even use stem cells that have been grown more than 4 passages. So that's what we do at Regenerel, our stem cell company. But what we were finding is that a lot of these exosomes were coming from companies that grow their stem cells 1,500 copies. Well, that doesn't look good. So from there, we took it a little bit further and said, what else is happening? And what's very different from the medical space of regenerative medicine, stem cells and exosomes versus the aesthetics is the aesthetics. All of the products I audited as a professional auditor were all lyophilized. They were freeze dried. Why? Why would you freeze dry a perfectly good exosome? There's only one reason. You want shelf stability. You want this to last on the shelf of a doctor's office. You want it to be able to be easily transported without the cost of cold storage. Well, in a lot of the studies, when these exosome companies did their own studies that they had exosomes, a lot of their data is prior to the lyophilization process, the freeze drying process. They're not showing you the final data of what does that bottle look like after the product's been freeze dried. Why this is important is an exosome is you know, a biologic liquid in a sense, right? And to make it understandable, I love freeze dried strawberries. They're crunchy, delicious, put them on my salad. But I can't just add some dilutant and suddenly they're plump and red again.
The strawberry.
And that's what, yeah, like they're plump, they're vibrant. I mean, they've changed through that freeze drying process, right? Nutrients have changed. They are changed. And when you lyophilize an exosome, you change them. You rip the water out of the exosome. The exosome is a bilipid membrane on the outside. And there's lots of goodies on the inside. If you freeze dry, you are removing all the liquid. And you are breaking the membrane open, which spills out the cargo, spills out all those goodies. So yes, topically, you could have some effect of growth factors on your face. But if that exosome is not fully intact, it's not complete, and it tries to be captured by the cell, it can't signal. You're not getting an exosome effect. It's broken. It's inactive. So we've seen this, and we've done an audit. I started doing this audit in 2023. And then it took us about a year when we hired the world's leading researcher in exosomes, Dr. Carla Mazzio from, she's been at Boston University, MIT. She does some, you know, collaborative work at Harvard. She did her first PhD in exosomes back in 2004 when everyone else said exosomes were trash. Hmm. And she came on full time on our team, and we hired her essentially like, let's look at this whole industry and let's look at all the tools that you have today to start analyzing blind studies at Harvard University in Boston, what's in all these products. FDA is not checking, no one's checking. And I'm an auditor, and that's kind of what I've designed, you know, to do. And I just said, consumers deserve to know. They deserve to know, are they getting a bioactive exosome that they're paying for? Or are they getting an inactive product, yet spending thousands of dollars on something that is not an exosome? And so that's exactly what we did. We hired Dr. Mazzio, and over the last year, she's been researching and using the NanoCyte 300 technology to see, are these particles in all of these other bottles, are they the 30 to 150 nanometer size to say, yes, it's an exosome size, mm-hmm. or is it a different particle? And then after you determine that, yes, it's the correct size, it's 30 to 150 nanometers, you have to check that these exosomes are intact. And that's when we use the transmission electron microscope at Harvard. And so a lot of this work is in the process of publications been submitted because we believe consumers have the right to know. And we really want doctors to be educated about this very advanced new technology and help them understand how they can help their patient. But it's not by having inactive products.
Mm-hmm. And in looking at this, you guys did electron microscopy studies. Talk a little bit about what that showed when we looked at what an actual nanosome looks like when it's been treated after lyophilization or rehydrated.
Mike, you want to take it from here?
That is one way to actually check if you have a bioactive and functional exosome. So the thing is, as Aaron pointed out, when you freeze dry an exosome, you destroy the bubble, the bilipid layer, and then all of what you have left actually exosomal degree. And there might be some growth factors left because proteins can be stable under freeze drying. And they might have some effect, but it's only palliative, so superficial and temporary. I always liken it to a moisturizer. If you have dry skin and put a moisturizer on, well, as long as you use the moisturizer, it looks supple and nice, but leave it away and you're back to your dry skin, right? Mm-hmm. An exosome can actually fix the skin that it's no longer dry, but in order to do so, it has to be intact and functional. So you cannot destroy this bubble, otherwise you lose, for instance, all the RNAs which provide the genetic instructions for the cell to, you know, fix itself. And this, as you were talking about red flags, the prevalent problem in the field is that people get hooked on the word exosome and they don't care where it comes from. And then you have, of course, you have like all those bad sheep, black sheep in the doing the wildest claims. Like one of the things is you have to be careful, and you see it all over the place when they claim or advertise they have hundreds of growth factors in their exosomes. That is simply not true. It's very unscientific, and it's just a testament to their ignorance. There are roughly 50 growth factors in existence at all. And our proteomic studies, for instance, confirmed the presence of 46 of them, at least four. The remaining might be present, but under the threshold of detection. So all these claims are really a problem. The freeze-drying, all of the leading companies in the sector freeze-drying the exosomes for the benefit of, you know, easy shipping and shelf life. Mm-hmm. What you're ending up with is exosomal debris and not exosomes. They can't function as they should and could. And worse, I have a slide on this, where 5 billion exosomes freeze-dried result in 20 milligrams of some kind of powder that they then dilute with some secret liquid. And I did the math. So 5 billion exosomes weigh roughly 3 micrograms. And when you have 20 milligrams in there, it means that 99.98% of the content is actually not even exosomal debris. Mm-hmm. There's something else with egg liners, fillers, etc. And that's also a red flag to me, because that's something you don't want to put on your skin, you know, or into your body. You don't want to have egg lysers or these chemicals. So we take great pride in our product that consists of exosomes in saline, and that's it. And if you look at
I never inject that stuff into your body, right, Mike? Like, you would never want to inject the lyophilized exosome into your body. No way. Don't do that. Don't do it fancy.
Yes. Thanks for saying that outright, because so many people out there are.
Don't do it.
I see people doing IV exosomes, and it makes me want to cringe. Like, you will just die of anaphylactic shock and bacterial sepsis, and God knows what's going through your bloodstream too.
That's why we did this electron microscopy study, to actually really check diligently. And we by now have checked 10 competitors, like the more dominant ones in the market. And all of the lyophilized exosome products out there do not contain single exosome.
No, all. And you checked like 17 or 18 different brands, right?
Yeah. And no exosomes. I'd be furious if I was a consumer and paid all that money and had nothing in my product that was an exosome, yet labeled an exosome.
And then, so you guys are also testing other things besides just the picture of the electron microscopy. You're also looking at biogenesis markers to show if there's like actual active RNAs present.
Mike, do you want to take kind of the proteomics analysis a little bit, kind of some of the work we've done recently with a company called Creative Biolabs.
Yeah, that was also important for us, because again, when you talk about claims, we also proposed a generic list of cargo, what an exosome typically consists of, and all the things that are typically present and what they are relevant for and good for. But we wanted to check our own exosomes for, you know, factual presence of all these. So we did some rather elaborate, and we're still in the process of doing more, but elaborate proteomic study, also lipidomics, metabolomics, and RNA profiling. So we were keen to identify all the proteins that we hoped were present, and we confirmed, or we wanted to know how many growth factors are present in our exosomes. And I mentioned that we have like at least 46 out of 50 known growth factors present. We have over 250 cytokines that we identified, and all the relevant RNAs. And this, of course, gives ourselves confidence. I mean, we were confident in our product, but we wanted to substantiate our confidence also to actually provide this kind of information to our customers, and make sure that we go beyond wild claims to just promote a product. I think everybody should deserves actually the product that they are paying for, and that they deserve actually the promise can be delivered of exosome therapy and therapeutics in both the regenerative medicine market as well as in cosmetics and aesthetics.
Is there a precise approach where we can direct which microRNAs are getting encapsulated and delivered, since we can get up, 50 different growth factors, a bunch of cytokines? I'm assuming that we would like to have directed therapies where we want specific MRA fragments, specific growth factors. And is there a danger in just throwing the kitchen sink that, Wharton's jelly works in the baby, in the fetus, to go to the cells that need its specific messaging? But do those deliveries of so many growth fa factors and products overwhelm the skin, or is it misdirection? Is the skin getting messaging then belo that belongs to neural tissue and muscular tissue and nerve tissue?
That's a fantastic question. So the good news is there's no danger of any sort. It's at worst is like, you take too many vitamins, then whatever the body cannot use will just go through. And you can imagine that that's the same for exosomes. So exosome therapy and technology is still early on, relatively early on. I wouldn't rule it out that down the road you might want to manipulate them in a certain way to actually be more prone to do this or more prone to do that, especially when it comes to treat certain diseases. I am acutely aware of the pharma industry being very interested in creating hybrid exosomes, where they use exosomes as a carrier for certain small molecules that they develop, certain medications, and so on. And that all makes sense. That is a little bit on the road, I would argue. For right now, the exosomes that we are providing, for instance, they contain like most of what you might be interested in. And we see them as a universal tool. So we have seen them to be successfully used treating hair restoration conditions, skin rejuvenation, scar prevention and reversal. We have seen them applied towards the treatment of certain diseases, cerebral palsy, MS, and many, many things more, traumatic brain injury. And it's always the same exosome.
Pain, right? It's pain with
And
the pain. Yeah.
it's always the same exosome, and can treat a variety of conditions. And what I personally feel like it also makes sense because within each cell of our body, we have roughly 20,000 genes that are expressed to certain levels that make cell function in a certain way. It's extremely complex. I gave up a long time ago to really get to the bottom of it because biology is just so complex that you cannot figure it out in minute detail. Therefore, a more holistic approach, like using the perfect exosome, if you excuse me using that term, using the perfect exosome that provides everything an individual cell might need to fix itself, is for me already like a major milestone. Whether we go ahead, personalize them in certain ways, I wouldn't rule it out, but it might also not be necessary. Find out later.
Aaron, I have a question for you. So, as an aesthetic provider, then what should I be asking my exosome company for proof of in terms of purification, purity, sourcing, reliability between batches? Are there some things that you want us to ask when we're going up to these?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for asking. Keep it simple. Safety, quality, bioactivity. That's what we want to know. So from a safety perspective, do you have a certificate of conformity from a US lab that there was all the infectious diseases and sterility done? We always ship that report with every vial, whether it's our cosmetic topical or it's our Regeneron company. So safety first, last and always. Make sure there's a certificate of conformity for all the infectious diseases and sterility that was done on the stem cells. Two, make sure the stem cells are of quality so that they were grown in that low passage. They should not be grown more than four passages, otherwise they mutate. So safety, then quality is really making sure that they're good stem cell source. And then the last is, how do you ensure that they're bioactive? Well, don't get a lyophilized one, right? You want a product that comes with a NanoCyte 300 that you have exosome particles and a transmission electrolyte microscope that shows your exosomes intact, this is legitimate exosome sourcing. Mm-hmm. If you don't have safety, quality, and bioactivity, and that's confirmed by your distributor or your salesperson or manufacturer, then it's basically buying fool's gold.
Wow. And then tell me some brands that you think do have the safety, quality, and bioactivity.
So I know of the analysis so far, you have to start with who manufactures stem cells.
Yes.
There's only 3 Wharton's jelly stem cell manufacturers in the United States left today. Hmm. And one of them only sells to research companies. The other is only in clinical trial. We're the only commercial Wharton's jelly medical grade stem cell manufacturer in the United States. There are some in Costa Rica, Panama. There used to be the main Wuhan Institute in China. But at this point, we are the only commercially available. So if you ask me, what product would you put on your pinpoint bleeding face? I would say only H0. I can't recommend another product fully from a full auditing perspective. Now, we have some more. The only products we tested were the lyophilized. We wanted to get the heavy hitters, bad hitters out first. Now, there is a company out of Pennsylvania. It's that Exocell Bio company, right? Exocell Bio. They at least have a quality report. They show what they test for. I don't know how many passages they do, but they do come from a perinatal source. They do provide a certificate of quality. But other than that, we've done extensive auditing and the data is not there for safety for 99% of the companies out there. That's just a fact.
Yeah. And for consumers listening, just the buyer beware that these products are cosmeceuticals, which means they're no one looks at the ingredients, the safety profile. Right. They're designed for topical skin use only, not for injection. Microneedling only, not subcutaneous injections and IV deliveries and all of that. And that includes for hair, skin, body, everything. Because I don't think patients realize that too.
Right. And I'm just concerned where we started the Exact Oversight Bureau. So Exact stands for Exosomes Auditing, Compliance, and Testing. Members organization and to help maintain the future of exosomes. Exosomes has an incredibly bright future. The work we're seeing in delaying of Alzheimer's, cardiac, children with cerebral palsy, every area of the body and the opportunity to regenerate, this is the future of medicine. And we cannot afford for exosome companies in here to ride a hype and destroy the name, destroy quality, so we can't get started on that path. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see what happened in the stem cell world 20 years ago with Bush and everything, right? We have an opportunity for incredible future. And the things that Mike and I have seen with patients is really so sci-fi. And if it wasn't real, it would just think that you're dreaming. But we've seen amazing results that everyone will want someday. And the only way we're going to get that is if we protect the name exosome.
Mm-hmm. Can you walk us through one of your hero products for facial aesthetics and how it works? What kind of results we can expect?
Yeah, happy to. Thanks for asking. Before we got in the industry, we wanted to do a clinical trial and understand dose. That's important to us. And we didn't see major clinical trials working on dose. So we did a 100-patient trial and divided into 3 groups post-microneedling, 3 microneedling sessions a month apart. And they got 5 billion exosomes, 50 or 100. And we thought, great, 100, we hope that wins. We're the world's biggest manufacturer of exosomes. We can do a huge dose. Reality, 5 billion is fantastic dose. You apply it topically after microneedling or laser, reduces redness, improves skin texture, glow, fine lines, wrinkles, you know, all the things that we're really looking for. I love taking our exosomes, and every day after exfoliating in the shower, I love to spritz them on with an oxygen mister. It feels so good. I would always use an oxygen mister because it comes on cold. So if you're doing a microneedling treatment or laser, it feels great. And instead of just dropping the exosomes on that are in saline once and rubbing it in, you get many applications because of that fine mister. I love that. We've got a bunch of hair studies going on right now. Hair is a complex field. You've got all different ages, diseases, autoimmune, health conditions. But, you know, I would say start using exosomes, drop them on every few days right away. If you feel like you're having some thinning hair, it's great for scalp conditioning. And then We're in the process of launching an intimate tissue product, really, really setting indications of how to improve vaginal atrophy. I turned 40 in just, I think, 8 days. So the perimenopause conversation is big for me right now. And I, as an engineer, if I start getting scared of something, I really want to work on it. So the product we're working on right now, you know, postpartum and perimenopause, menopause is our next gen. And Mike, what else? We got a lot of stuff in our parent company, clinical trial on cardiac.
Hydrogel and preventing scar formation, or scar prevention and also scar reversal to some degree. They get all scars that got microneedled and then treated with exosomes, and you see a major improvement, which is interesting because the reversal of scar tissue was always a dogma considered not to be possible at all. It's just not true. And it just goes to show what the potential of true exosomes really are. I mean, they can really, they have the capacity for total regeneration and repair, and can affect a replacement of scar tissue with more functional tissue again. It's really remarkable. And then we're also working on a skincare line, but we are doing that very carefully because we find that the ingredients and the quality and the sourcing of those formulations has to match the quality standards of the exosomes. So you don't just use a random generic cream or something and mix in some exosomes that just wouldn't do them justice. So that's something we are working on a more scientific level. And I think that when you ask what to watch out for, what red flags to avoid, you should really vet the provider of your exosomes. Do they manufacture stem cells themselves? Because if they don't, they have no control over where those exosomes really come from, what the quality is, etc. So that would be a red flag. And we are deeply rooted in regenerative medicine, but I'm not saying it only because of that fact that I would always argue, no matter who you choose as a provider for your exosomes, if they are not dabbling in regenerative medicine, they are not doing their exosomes justice, and they are not providing the real deal. Because all the exosomes we actually provide also for the cosmetics and aesthetics market are medical grade to the highest standards, because we feel it's important and it's just right. And as Aaron pointed out, when you get your face microneedled, it's basically a very big open wound, and you don't want to put anything on there that's not medical grade. So in this context, even though cosmetics is highly unregulated, I think they should both have the same standards of quality and safety.
In terms of stem cells then, Mike, are you, can you say a few words on that? Because that is also everywhere. And also there's so many charlatans promoting fake science. I wanted to maybe bring people some of your key ideas on stem cells in terms of treatment options.
Absolutely. Yeah, there are bad actors everywhere, and similar problem. Sometimes you get offered stem cell treatments with the widest claims that treat any disease. And in theory, that's true. I mean, you can actually address any kind of condition or disease with the right kind of stem cell. And then it's just about figuring out the route of application, the right dosing, the frequency, and so on. And each person, each patient might have an individual response to it. So that is not as trivial. There is the potential that you can treat virtually every disease, but it is, again, very complex, and we don't yet have any established benchmarks. But stem cell therapy works, and that's, again, where we come from. We originally created the stem cells to stem cell therapy, and then we realized they secrete those exosomes. Back in the day, when I started stem cell therapy, we thought we inject stem cell and they replace tissue. That was not the case. Instead, they threw what's called paracrine signaling. And how will they do that? They actually affect any benefits through secretion of exosomes. Exosomes are actually containing everything you need, and they secrete it from the stem cells and go to the target cells, and there are the means by which the stem cells operate. So they are experts in cell signaling and communication. Mm-hmm. And you should go with as the next evolutionary step of stem cell therapy, which is any four exosomes only.
I think it's really exciting for people who might be listening, though, that are looking for stem cell treatment, is that as of July 1st, it looks like Florida's passing the bill for stem cells treatment for wounds, pain, and orthopedic use. Utah already passed a law, and there's at least one other. So this is kind of state by state rolling. And Florida put in these quality manufacturing regulatory standards, right? They implemented it into their standards. So as of July 1st, for the first time ever in the state of Florida, doctors can market pain. They can market orthopedic. They can market wounds. So that's a big win for our industry.
That's amazing. Well, you guys, in summary, I wanted to ask you a couple quick personal questions. If you had to focus on one of the hallmarks of aging, is there one track that you think is going to lead us to the downside of really going to be telomere, mitochondria, DNA repair? Any quick ideas, Mike or Aaron, either one of you?
Personally, I cannot claim this to be very scientific because right now it's more a conviction based on experience and what I've seen. But I do have a hunch that exosomes, in certain ways, might be some fountain of youth. Yeah, we have seen actual reversal of age, you know, issues like hair restoration was the most obvious one, where a person in their mid-40s got thinning hair. We microneedled and put some exosomes on it. It was our patient zero, was the husband of our CMO. Mm-hmm. And after just one treatment, 4 weeks later, the hair was visibly denser. But not only that, it was also darker. He had dark hair, and given his age, was salt and pepper. But the patch that was treated was overall darker. And similarly, our chairman, Aaron's father, he is in his mid-70s now. He had a big bald spot on top of his head, and we treated that microneedling plus exosomes. And after two treatments, he was initially a little bit underwhelmed because he saw some baby hair growing in the middle of the patch, but he was hoping for a little more. But truth be told, he also had a bald spot for some 30 years, I think. Mm-hmm. And then when we checked those photographs, we realized that the bald spot got much smaller. It was half the size, basically. So it just goes to show that you actually reverse time, indeed, because that's how a bald spot grows, right? It's thinning at first, then you have a small bald patch, and then it grows larger and larger. And treating it with exosomes, it went the same way in reverse. So talking about rejuvenation, which is an overused buzzword, in my sense, like, we see that. We can turn back the clock. We can reverse aging. So if you're asking about the potential of exosomes for, you know, a fountain of youth, yes, I would think that we'll get there if we figure out how dosages, frequencies, and so on, and route of applications. I think we will see remarkable things.
Well, that's so exciting. My goodness, if I worked at age zero, I'd have that on all over.
We do.
You
it's
do?
It's an application for all of us. Yeah.
And Aaron, what's your usual biohacking regimen for yourself at home? Do you have a supplement stack that you take, or what are you doing to stay super healthy?
Yeah, no, so I'm like Mike. I'm an age zero exosome girl all the way. I've never done Botox. I do microneedling and RF laser, but I want to see what the world looks like for me without filler. I want to be that first person who is only using exosomes. I'm 39. I want to see what I look like at 2075. I want to be the person that has the exosomes all day, every day, misting them. In this case, we'll be inhaling them. There'll be nasal spray, right? These are the products of the future. And I'm very lucky that I get to live in the world where we see that. So,
how about orally? Is there an oral supplement, exosome that repairs the GI tract yet?
No, that's actually something that's being worked on, is timing the capsule to release at the right point.
Yeah, so that would be so cool.
So suppositories. I mean, we're talking about any way you can get an exosome in is of interest to our company, right? Because we like to study all of it. We like to see what's happening with the body. And we're so lucky to have incredible doctors and researchers around the world coming to us and say, hey, I want to study this. And as the world's largest producer of exosomes, we say, Absolutely. Let's do it. So Dr. K, if there's anything you want to study.
Oh my gosh. I have an email. I have an email ready for you.
All right, I love it.
Good boy.
You got the ideas, we got the product, we can bring it together.
I would really like to try it and do some really good studies myself. You guys take anything for your own health, like NAD? Are you taking magnesium? Are you taking hopefully vitamin D, et cetera?
We've got a lot of the doctors that do a lot of combination work with NAD and stem cells and exosomes. So, you know, they feel like it's a great combo.
Okay, good. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, I have just really enjoyed this last hour. It's flown by, but the knowledge that we're giving to the aesthetic community and the people out there at large is so valuable because
there is
so much hype out there. And I think having a committee to really look at these standards is really critical for, like you said, we want exosomes to reach the point they become medical therapies. That will never happen if the FDA shuts it down for plasminids and other zones, you know? So you guys, where can people find you if they want to stay in touch with Erin and with Mike?
Great question. We just got approved by Forefront Dermatology, so you can find us there at any of their offices. We are easy to purchase directly from in the United States. We've got sales reps all over, but you can just reach out, order online. And then we're in Dubai, Pakistan, Lebanon, Qatar. We're growing all over the place. Every day, new people are finding us and saying, oh, at last, we found a company that checks all the boxes.
I love that. And then you're going to stay at the helm of the Exosome Exact Oversight Bureau.
It's
really a mission that I think people who want to market their exosome should voluntarily submit their data to you and like show that they're so great. Hopefully that's the newest standards. Do you want to give out your Instagram handles or your company website?
Yeah. So where you can find us is RESILIELLE, Resilie. And we're growing and we're excited to be new players in this aesthetics industry. So thank you so much for having us.
What a pleasure.
The next one, H0 exosomes, and we will find it.
H0.
And Dr. Mike, thank you for your insights. You are a world-class stem cell researcher. This hour of having your attention.
We're lucky to have Mike. He's a game changer for us.
All thanks to you and your wonderful questions.
Yes, thank you so much. We'll do it again soon. That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DrKay. Doing amazing things for people's faces. You know, we have an injector teaching platform that's called Modern Aesthetic Theory and Artistry. We're definitely going to talk about these exosomes and all the standards and for our injectors out there. Don't forget to come visit me if you're ever in LA. And that's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.